This is ContactTalkRadio.com, consciousness in action, and you are taking action into your consciousness by tuning into Contact Talk Radio.
And on TuneIn.com, Hing.fm, and UpSnap Mobile.
Contact Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Carol Reiberger Show, where each week you'll hear a new topic dealing with health and wellness. Carol will be taking your calls and answering your personal questions. And now, here's Carol.
Hello, and thank you for joining me. Happy New Year to all of you. I'm your host, medical intuitive Carol Reiberger, and the topic of today's show is creating a hearty immune personality. Thought it would be a perfect topic for where we are. We're just coming off of the hustle and bustle and all the stress of the holidays, and unfortunately, we're entering into the active time for it's called swine flu, this particular strain, but anyway, flu season. And so I thought it might be interesting if I talk about the connection between personality and your health and how that personality not only affects your health, but how it affects the hardiness of your immune system. So that's the topic for today, and I'm going to be sharing information on all of the four colors and information more, of course, about the connection. And then in the last segment, I'm going to be talking about what each personality color can do to create a hearty immune personality. I'm also going to be taking your calls, so if you have a question for me about today's topic or about your health or relationship, you can call me at 877-230-3062. That number is good, U.S. and Canadian callers, and then also the same number for international callers. Just dial your international calling code before 877-230-3062. Also wanted to let you know that it's getting really close to the webinar I'm going to be presenting on Tuesday, January 13th. It's an online event. It starts at 5 p.m. Pacific time, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and I'm going to be talking about the energy and kind of the overall theme of what we can expect in the year of 2015, which is the year of divine appreciation. In this webinar, what I'm going to be doing is I'm going to be really defining what divine appreciation means. So often we use the word appreciation and gratitude simultaneously and interchangeably, and they're really quite different. Divine appreciation is more of a spiritual act. It's a heightened state of awareness, where gratitude is more of a mental act, and it's what you express once you've become aware of what you appreciate. So I'm going to be talking about divine appreciation from that standpoint. And then I'm also going to be talking about how to use this divine appreciation as a form of spiritual living that can really serve as a springboard to inspire you to look at things in your life, not only that you're grateful for, but using that heightened sense of spiritual awareness that comes with a divine appreciation, to be able to look at the gifts that life offers on a daily basis. And when we start looking at life through that, from that perspective, or what I call the soul's eyes, then what we find is that life seems to slow down, the pace of it slows down, and then we start to notice and we can actually savor a lot of the blessings and the beauty that's really found in the ordinary. I'm also going to be sharing how to use divine appreciation to shift the focus of the mind from the past and future to the present moment, and then how to take those moments to be able to really see the sacredness of extraordinary circumstances and experiences, and sometimes even the most challenging time. Now, I was doing some readings this last week, and one of the things that kept coming up in the reading was about this divine appreciation, was that I listened to people I was working with that actually took very, very trying, you know, in one particular case, a family situation, and was able to step back from the situation afterwards instead of going into the old pattern, you know, bad me, I did everything wrong, the way that we seem to do with ourselves, and actually step back and define the real value, and not so much the lesson, but the real feelings that came from when she recognized that she really did honor herself in the process, and she spoke her truth. And it wasn't done with any kind of malice or any kind of wanting to do harm to someone else. It was just literally speaking her truth in a way that she felt good about it. Whether others heard what she said or not, she felt good about it. That's divine appreciation. And sometimes in the most challenging of environments, when we get a chance to really kind of step back and look at things differently, we can really see that they're merely an experience and they're an opportunity for us to be able to grow personally and evolve spiritually. Some of the topics I'm going to be discussing in the webinar is how divine appreciation really offers a new way of looking at life and how it really is your soul's inner guidance system, what it means to live a heartful life, also how divine appreciation changes the choices you make and how you can actually use divine appreciation to be able to improve your health, relationships, and then your life. So it's a 90-minute webinar, very comprehensive. I'm going to be having some exercises I'm going to be offering, and we're going to actually go through a couple of them while we're in the webinar itself so you can experience what it's like to touch the soul heart so you can see your world through divine appreciation. And one of the things I found so interesting in this process is that when we do that, and even if we don't get to that place where we're really looking for, we are actually rebooting and reprogramming our mind in a way that it can see things through the eyes of the soul. And when we see it from that experience, then a lot of the emotions and the emotional judgments we have toward ourselves just melt away. So if you want to learn more about this event, or you'd like to register for it, the closing for registration is on January 12th, which is on Monday. And if you're interested in registering, just go to my website at www.ritberger.com. Click on the Divine Appreciation slide and the moving banner at the top of my homepage, and it'll give you all the information, and you can actually order your attendance online. If you can't attend, still go ahead and register, because everyone who participates in the online event is going to automatically receive a download of the event. So if you can't be there the night of the event, then just a few days later, you're going to have it, and then you can listen to it. Also, I wanted to let you know that I'm going to be offering all kinds of new things in 2015. This is part of what I've been doing from my own personal work and the evolution of my business and, of course, of me. And so if you're not in my database, while you're on my site, then homepage, just go to the lower left-hand side, click on Send a Comment to Carol. That automatically puts you in the database, and it's going to let you know about a lot of new events and monthly drawings that I'm going to be offering, online classes. I'm going to be offering one on intuition, and then also free downloads and lots of new products. So it's going to be a very dynamic year, as I have realized it's time for me to step into my author, writer, teacher mode again. And so if you would like to just get my emails and find out what's going on, then go to www.ritberger.com. You know, we have heard so long, and actually it's been about 25 years, that this body-mind connection and health and illness has really been in the thought process of holistic practitioners, and then also holistic practitioners. I should probably be real clear on that, because they've always been very interested in the body-mind connection. But the holistic practitioners, from the standpoint of how to integrate this into the model of medicine itself. So in the last 25 years, the understanding of this mind-body connection has really, really come a long way. It has a lot to do with a lot of the research that's been done in psychoneuroimmunology, which is the study of behavior and psychological contributors impacting the immune system itself. And as we start to get deeper into the scientific evidence, we're beginning to find that we really can show through this evidence that the mind and the body actually imprint and imitate each other. And it's really caused medicine in particular to really have to rethink what are the contributors to illness versus just what we think of as viruses and bacteria or infection as a result of it. One of these contributors that I've been always involved in the field and personality is the significance that personality plays in why we become ill. I actually have a personality mapping program that by personality, neurology, and color, you can go in and you can see where you are going to be most susceptible to having the weaknesses in the body to possibly succumb to chronic pain, chronic illness, or chronic disease, meaning that we get into a process where we're actually diagnosed with an illness. So I've been a part of this cutting-edge research for a long time and have, you know, been very fortunate to be able to contribute my work to this research to the point of being able to help this whole movement of this mind-body-now-personality connection to why we become ill and how it really does impact the immune system itself. The immune system, you know, it's that part of us that really is that guard that stands against the intrusion of any potential harmful invaders such as bacteria, viruses. It also protects us from cancer cells. The human body produces cancer cells on a daily basis. And what the immune system does is it identifies those cancer cells and it keeps them in check to the point where they don't need to, where they don't get what they need in order to become a problem. So what the immune system is, it's really kind of that guard that we have inside of us. It has its own specific intelligence, and that intelligence is designed to distinguish what belongs to us and then what are foreign to what we call the non-self. So when we really look at it, that immune system intelligence is actually part of the hardwiring of what I call personality traits, a term that's been used for a long time. But your personality traits, meaning how you're hardwired, really does impact and is part of the intelligence of your immune system's ability to be able to do what it's designed to do. What we're finding out is that these traits that I talk about, and they're in the kind of that scientific psychological world, they're called self aspects. Those are the self aspects of who we are. And when it comes to personality, those self aspects that really impact the well-being or lack of it from the standpoint of how it impacts the immune system itself really is tied to our neurological hardwiring, which is where all of my research for over 30 years has been really focused. Because personality has different aspects to it, what we've learned to characteristics, what we've been conditioned to look like, sound like, be like, and then those hardwired parts of us that just do not come in and really tell the body how it should act. So when we go in and we look at the personality part of it, this research that I've been involved in comes in, and what the common ground that research has gone to in the impact of the immune system is it has to do with stress. However, as we're digging deeper into this connection, what we're finding is that it is stress, absolutely, but it isn't stress as we think of it that really weakens the immune system's ability to be able to do its job, but it's how we cope with stress, and how we cope with stress determines how long we remain stressed in that chemical chaos that happens when we're in that fight, flight, freeze, and we feel like we're being compromised on many, many different psychological levels, is that that is the part that we are finding that really is the impact or the root cause of how it impacts the immune system itself. Any of you who are not familiar with my work, I work with personality by color, red, orange, yellow, green. And the reason that I use color is it's a non-threatening way for us to be able to understand not only ourselves, but the differences between ourselves and others. So we can avoid using labeling terms that are going to categorize us, putting us in a box, which is nothing, none of us like to have that done. And then also they can, in that categorization, it can be used as a tool to be able to be destructive and harmful in how we interact with others. So when I went in and I go in and I look at personality, then I look at it from that non-threatening perspective, and then also color is a common language we use all the time. We're red with anger, we're green with envy, we're blue with sadness, you know, all of the different terms that we use. So that is why I use that. So what I want to do is I do have a caller. I want to take Sue. And then what I'm going to do is I'm going to come back and I'm going to talk a little bit about each of the four personality colors and some of the psychological stress triggers for each color. So let's go ahead. Hi, Sue from California. Sweetie, how are you?
Thank you for taking my call.
My pleasure. How can I help you?
Well, you've read for me before.
Yes.
So you recognize my energy?
I do. Thank you.
Okay. My son David went into anaphylactic shock.
Okay.
And it took 4 EpiPens plus another one at ER to revive him. Now, at the time, he was detoxing. And we cannot find out, or we didn't find out, and couldn't find out because of his medical insurance, what was the cause of it. And he had eaten mushrooms that day. He's never been allergic to mushrooms. Or I don't know if it was just if he took more drugs. You know, I don't know. And he doesn't know either.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we're all scared to death.
Yeah. Yeah. So how it feels to me is this all kind of came out of the blue. He hasn't had patterns for anything like this, has he?
No.
Yeah. And so here's how it feels to me, sweetie. It honestly doesn't feel like it was mushrooms that he had eaten. I can't pick up anywhere when I'm touching it that there was a bad mushroom or there was a spore or there was anything in it or any kind of toxin in the mushroom itself. But what is present when I'm touching his energy is, was he kind of acting himself up to 3 days before? Feeling okay? Excuse me, I didn't mean to cut you off, darling, but
no,
was
okay.
Was he feeling okay? Was he overly tired? I keep picking up.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
I keep picking up that, you know, it was kind of a perfect storm of what just transpired. Had he had any kind of infection?
Well, he hadn't been feeling well, and he had been in and out of rehab. I can't really remember exactly what was going on, but his life was extremely chaotic and stressful at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And he went into rehab, and the third or fourth day in, he went into this anaphylactic shock there.
Yes.
And, you know, it's just like you said, it came out of the blue, and we don't know, and they don't know.
Right, right. Can you tell me when he was in the hospital? Of course, they ran blood work.
This was a couple of months ago.
Okay. It feels really recent.
Well, it probably is energetically.
Yeah. He's got, I'm going to have to just kind of go in and I'm going to have to put it into, I think something that you could go and do some research on. If this isn't what he has, I just am trying to figure out what's the best way to have you look at this, since we don't really have what it feels to me an allergic reaction to something that was eaten. If we had something like toxic shock syndrome.
Yes.
If you were to go in and look at the symptoms, and you would find there would be some similarities to what your son was feeling and experiencing. I think that there's something inside him that was poisoning him, kind of like this toxic shock process would, that was poisoning him. And I think that what it was is that it was the mushrooms or the combination of the detoxing he was going through that put him into this place.
Okay.
Where his body just shut down.
Well, you know, we were talking about immune system today. His immune system was shocked because of drugs.
Exactly. Exactly. Did they check him for being septic? Did they check his blood in detail?
You know, they didn't do anything in detail because of his insurance, and that's a terrible thing to say. But,
no, but it's the reality of it.
Yeah.
So what he feels like is he feels to me like he had an infection, and it was in the blood.
Oh, okay.
And, again, that's how it kind of moves through the process. But the most important thing is that for some reason it feels important for me to say to you to maybe not to kind of quell this anxiety. It doesn't feel like an allergic reaction to something he ate.
Yeah, I didn't get that either.
It feels like something that was already present in his body that it could have just been what he ate. Just appears like it caused it, but it feels like it was already present and the process was already there.
Okay.
The other thing is that when I go in and look at it from a completely different perspective, when I look at David and where he's been for, oh, maybe the last 6 weeks. Oh, nope. I'm going to go back even a couple of, I'm going to go back probably 4 months. I went 6 weeks and then I went 8 weeks. It's like, no, I needed to go more. David feels like he had lost his will to live. I think we talked about this, didn't we, sweetie?
Yes, we did.
This was one of the things, if I remember correctly, I might have alluded to, or we talked about also of him making a decision whether he wanted to live or die.
That's correct. Yes, I asked you that question.
Yes, and I think this was David's opportunity. It wasn't any form of, you know, he said, okay, well, I'm going to die, and this happened. I think that it was part of this dynamics of what his body has struggled under and with for so long, and there was an infection. His immune system feels like it was absolutely overwhelmed. There was no ability to be able to do what it needed to as quickly as it needed to. It feels like it was almost septic in the blood itself, where it was just kind of running rampant in his body where nothing seemed like it was going to do anything. It's almost like his brain said shut down.
Makes sense.
And so my sense is that somewhere in this event and this abyss, what I'm picking up with him when he was in that transitional time, he crossed over, but he didn't cross over to stay. He was in this abyss time of deciding what he wants to, does he want to come back into form? And it feels to me that, of course, he came back, but he's different. He feels different to me.
He
feels like he's, you know, made the decision that, you know, I'm going to stay. And I'm going to do what I need to, and I'm going to get clean. I'm going to figure this out, and I know it's not going to be easy and all the things. I mean, we don't even have to be intuitive to go that route. But it feels like this was a real, almost a spiritual epiphany for him.
Okay.
And I, you know, when I look at it, that feels part of the value of it is a different appreciation for being alive and waking up instead of it just being one darn thing after another.
Okay.
Do they run blood tests? Do they do any kind of testing with him, sweetie? I don't know. It kind of changes from facility to facility. Do they do any kind of blood testing with him at all to see where he is?
No, you know, I can't answer that really because he was not in my area at the time that it happened.
Gotcha.
And I'm
okay.
not really sure. But I think in the future he might be able to get some testing done.
You know, the blood tells everything about what's going on in the human body. I know I tell people, you know, they say, well, I'm not going to go to the doctor. It's like, okay, well, just go get blood work because it's really the baseline. You know, really determines everything. And if there's, you know, just it would give him a reading on his liver enzymes. It would give him a reading on his platelets. You know, are they healthy? And if that's something that's appropriate for you to offer to him, it would be of value for him to have blood work done so we could have a baseline for him to work with.
Great.
But it does not feel like this was an allergic reaction. And the reason I say that and, you know, feel confident in saying that is that if it was an allergic reaction, then two of the EpiPens at the very most would have pulled him out of it. He was literally in this, you know, if you go in and you look at toxic shock syndrome, again, not saying he doesn't have that, but you look at that, the body has no way of recovering. So to recover from it, we have to really shock the daylights out of it.
Okay.
So that might be able to help you get a little bit different perception, sweetie.
That's fabulous. And I can let him know this, too.
Because, yes.
Yes.
And if he can go and just, you know, get his blood work and get the baseline and just be sure we don't have anything that's running around in his blood and that the liver's okay and that the sedimentation of the blood and the platelet, you know, shapes are where they need to be and white count and everything, then we'll have a real good, or his cholesterol, we'll have a real good baseline to know where to go from here.
That's fabulous.
Yeah.
Thank
yeah.
you so much.
You are so welcome. Nice
so
to talk
much.
To you. And thank
good
you.
To talk to you, too.
Thank you for letting me, when I said yes, so just kind of matter of fact that, yep, we had talked, and once I touched with someone's energy, then it just seems like we just kind of know each other, don't we, honey?
Yes, we do. Yes, we do.
Well, very good. Well, Happy Thank New you. Year to you, Sue.
Happy New Year to you, too. Thank you.
You are welcome. Okay. All right. What I think I'd like to do is I'd like to jump right into a commercial break. I'm going to come back, talk a little bit about each color and their stress triggers. And then I want to also talk about what each personality color can do to be able to create that hearty, immune personality. So stay tuned. I'm going to be right back.
If you have a question for Carol, call her now, toll free at 1-877-230-3062.
How would you like to learn the hidden meanings behind illness and see how a medical intuitive views illness? You can by joining medical intuitive Carol Reitberger each month on her teleclass series, Your Health. Each month she'll be featuring a different health issue and sharing the contributors behind it. You can register online at www.reitberger.com. That's www.reitberger.com.
Have you ever wanted to talk with a medical intuitive to uncover the hidden meanings behind your aches, pains, and illnesses? Now you can. Internationally renowned medical intuitive Carol Reitberger is now offering personal and health-related readings. Discover your soul's purpose. Learn about the soul and the pre-birth agreements that you have with the people in your life. Readings can be booked online at www.reitberger.com. An hour with Carol can be life-changing.
What color is your personality? Red, orange, yellow, or green? Now at Reitberger.com, Dr. Carol Reitberger, an international leader in the field of personality psychology, brings you everything you need to know about your personality. With Carol's innovative insights and personality assessment, you can finally live the life you desire, create more satisfying relationships, enjoy better health, and much more. So act now. Discover your personality color and find out about the personality colors of the people in your life, all at Reitberger.com. What you learn will change your life forever.
Welcome back. If you're just joining me today, I'm talking about how our personality actually impacts the well-being and the functioning of the immune system. In this segment, I'm going to be talking a little bit about each of the four colors. I started the process of kind of an introducing you to the concept that I use color when I talk about the different personality types. But what I do is I look at the neurological part. My work really looks at the brain mapping. So what I'm going to be doing is I'm going to be talking about each of the four colors and then what each of the four colors can do to be able to really create what I call a hearty immune personality. And what that means is that, you know, we're going to have stress in our life. In fact, my producer and I were chuckling in between the segments about the fact that we kind of thought that 2015 might come in a gentle way, especially with divine appreciation, and it's come in kind of like a lion and roaring and making us move forward. It is an action year. And so knowing ourselves and how we cope with stress is really, really important to be able to have us be able to keep this hearty immune system that we need in order to be able to remain healthy. I'm also taking your calls, so if you have a question for me, go ahead and give me a call at 877-230-3062. That number is good for U.S., Canadian, and international callers, 877-230-3062. Also, a quick reminder, what I did is I have a new energy update that I posted in December to my website. Again, go to my website, www.ritberger.com. And on that moving banner, you're going to see a slide that's called Carol's Musings Energy Update. Click on that, and what it'll do is it'll allow you to actually listen to the audio download on the energy of this contrast that we found ourselves really dealing with for the last 4 months of 2014. And then also there's a channeling that was actually downloaded that you can print, and you can, or you can read it online, or you can print it. And so go to my website, www.ritberger.com, and then click on that slide, Mindful Musings. And then what you can do is you can listen to it as many times as you want, and please feel free to share it with your friends, because it really adds some relevancy to that roller coaster ride that we were going through the end of 2014, and how 2015, that contrast is still prevalent. It's just not going to be as obvious, and we're going to have a wonderful opportunity when we experience that contrast to become aware of it, to step away and look at it very, very differently. So let's talk about how each personality copes with stress, and I want to start with some of the stress triggers. The red personality, these are actually the most neurologically focused personalities, and the reason I say that is because they're predominantly left hemisphere in their mental functioning, meaning that they gather information in the left hemisphere and they make decisions based on logic and rationale. They're really what we consider in the personality world the classical type A, except we are all type A personalities when we really look at what triggers our stress. So the red personality, when they get triggered into their stress, it's usually around their fear around survival, of not belonging, and the fear of financial loss. So if we were to come into a situation with a red personality and there was some changing that was going on in their work environment and there was the potential that they were going to lose their job, that is a major stress trigger. Now, that stress trigger, of course, starts the fight, flight, freeze in the red personality. But what it does in the coping of it that continues the stress to go to continue on, that weakens the immune system, is they don't like change, and they don't like dealing with the unknown. They don't like being pushed to change. They don't like excessive external demands on their time. They can't stand people wasting their time. Too much emotional complexity. The more emotional complexity in their lives, the more they go into that avoidance and back away. They get frustrated when they can't make things happen. They need control, both in their environment and the people in their environment. And when they lose control and they can't gain it back, then that creates this process to where they really get into that fight, flight, freeze, that coping process that goes into that typical type A personality. And then what they do is they become very short on the fuse. They're very volatile and explosive in their emotional outburst, and while that can relieve a little bit of tension for them, it can create a lot of tension for others. So one of the things that the red personality can do to be able to create a hardy immune personality is to learn to manage their anger and their aggression, and then to recognize that things are going to change. And when they are going to change, it isn't acquiescing to the fact that it's in the inevitable. It's offering the red the possibility to look at the change and look at what they can control in the change, meaning their own behavior. And another thing that they can do is to work at not always having to be right, take time to relax, control what they can, as I said, and then let go of what they can't. And then also work at being more flexible and not as rigid in what the conditions are and what the rules are. And then also go in and look at some stress management. And then the most important thing is to really, for the red, is that it's important for them to realize they have a human body and to be able to go in and honor the needs of the human body and not, feed it when they're ready to, instead of when it needs to. So while the red likes redundancy and routine when it comes to running their life, reds don't have the redundancy and routine when it comes to taking care of their body. So the hardy personality for the red is one that they can really go in and look at what they can do to reduce the amount of stress and how they cope with it. The next personality is the orange personality, and oranges are emotional decision makers. They information has to make sense to them, and it also has to feel right. So there's a sometimes it takes time for them to get that balance between the two, and in that process, their emotions can really come in and keep them churned up inside, and this can cause unhappiness and inner discontentment, and then they begin to worry about that, and then they begin to worry about what they can't control, and it becomes an insidious process that really basically comes in and just feeds on itself. And as a result, their coping mechanisms just kind of go out the door, and then anything that happens that may be even a mild emotional charged situation can feel like it's just a mountain instead of a molehill. So with the orange personality, what the orange can, that triggers them is when they specifically and undermines their coping ability is when they lack the support from their family and friends, when they really spend a lot of their time trying to accommodate other people's demands, and then not having enough time to do what they need to get the things done so they will have the time, quality of time, to be with the people they love. One of the things that really creates the prolonged coping stress for the orange is literally too much to do with too much emotional tension, too many people involved, and not being able to have enough time to be able to make the changes that are needed to be able to help the people that they love and that they care about. So they're always trying to really go in and do a balancing act between their family demands and their work demands. They don't necessarily know how to say no because they don't want to create conflict. They don't like conflict. So they have a tendency to find themselves really burdened with a lot of responsibility and taking on too much. Some of the things that the orange can do to really help create this hardy immune personality is that they can really first and foremost learn to manage their worry. One of the things about the orange personality is they worry about anything and everything. And sometimes when I've been working with them and they get in that cycle of worry, that chronicness of being a chronic worrier, then a lot of times they are not even sure what they're worrying about, but they know that that's something, and as a result, they're always waiting for that next shoe to drop. The other thing is that the orange tends to feel guilty for everything that happens, and I want to be really clear in that, is they don't choose to feel guilty about everything that happens. Their primary directive in their contribution to all of us is to be able to help us putting us first and helping our lives be easier. And as a result, what they do is that when they can't do that, they feel bad and they feel like they've let someone down. Now, all personalities will do that, but the orange personality equates that to feeling guilty, because they can't do what they want to do and they can't help someone the way that they want to. The other part of the orange, and it is difficult, fortunately, if an orange gets backed into a corner, then they don't have a problem with this word, but the word is no. And one of the things when working with an orange to help them feel healthier and stronger is to learn to say no. And then the other thing is to learn to express your emotional needs in a way that others will hear you. And what I mean by that is that the orange personality does express their emotional needs, but their primary interpretation when they share those is nobody else is listening or really hears them. And that causes them to go into avoidance of sharing those emotions because they don't want the conflict. Nobody's going to listen anyway. And then what they do is it's that process that really keeps that stress and that psychological emotional stress tied to what can break down the immune system itself. So they can learn to say no. They can take charge of their life and not allow other people to make their decision. they can seek support groups or, you know, friends, male or female, that they can spend time with, and it doesn't have to be every day, but to be able to spend quality time with people who are up and upbeat, who care about them, and the orange cares about the other person, and to really be able to share the quality of time where it feels like it's a very healing environment. The other thing is to don't take a passive submissive position where others will see them as a victim, but to be able to go in and really be able to stand forward and just say no, or say to someone, I can't make that decision right now. It doesn't feel right. And to be comfortable with doing that. All of those things, while they may seem like obvious or insignificant, have a big impact on the ability for the immune system to be able to stay hardy. The yellow personality, now these are more complex. You know, they'd like to think that they're really unique, but they have a lot of complexities because their neurology is really both right, left hemisphere, frontal lobes, temporal lobes. They're neurologically hardwired, where they bounce around the brain very, very quickly. And in this particular process, while they're trying to fix a problem, sometimes they can become the problem, and they can't understand that. And when they find that there's a problem, they're kind of like a dog on a bone. And I can say this because I'm a yellow, and they fixate on the problem, and then that fixating on the problem really holds them accountable and engaged in the process, accountable for finding a solution, engaged in the process, to the point where it literally is sometimes feeling like a dog chasing its tail. And the one thing that the yellow personality experiences is analysis paralysis. The things that trigger the stress in a yellow is being pushed to make decisions before they've had time to think about it, and then also being interrupted when sharing their thoughts. Criticism that focuses on their shortcomings instead of being what we call, effective criticism or valuable criticism, constructive criticism. For the yellow personality, criticism, if it has any kind of an emotional charge to it, basically is interpreted by the yellow personality that somehow they have messed up and that they have a shortcoming. Also, emotional outburst from yellow from others really tends to set them off. And then repetitious tasks, that's something that they don't really deal with. And then if they're being held accountable for other people's mistakes, then that also can eat and undermine the well-being of the yellow. Some of the things that the yellow personality can do to create a hardy immune personality is they can monitor and change any self-deprecating deprivation talk that they have. You know, one of the things with the yellow, I will say when I'm working with other personalities who are yellow, is that we don't need any enemies. All we need to do is say something negative toward ourselves, and we turn on ourselves, and we basically say things to ourselves that we wouldn't even say to our worst enemy. So we really have to really watch the self-talk that yellows have. And the reason for that is the more negative the self-talk, then the longer we stay in that stress process, and the less we're able to cope with the outcome, and then that immediately goes in and starts weakening the immune system. The other thing for the yellow is to don't expect perfection from yourself, and especially when you're trying something for the first time. And then for yellows, a very effective way to create a immune hardy personality is to give your mind some cool down time by doing something that's just different, something that's learning, something that's fun, something that's distracting the mind from really going in and being so caught up in the process of, you know, looking and fixating on the problem to the point where it just starts to spin and you hit about analysis paralysis. Also, continually reevaluate your feelings of responsibility. And the reason for that is that yellows carry their responsibility to others very, very strongly. And when they do, they find themselves being accountable for what other people do. And sometimes that really isn't the case. In fact, most of the time, it isn't. And then also for yellows, the most effective thing that we can do from immune system hardiness is to remember we have a body. We live so much in our head that we spend so much time going in and really spending the time in the head, and we really don't even realize we have a body until all of a sudden we get those indicators like, oops, I probably need to take care of my body. I need to do something. And it isn't too late. That doesn't mean that the body has gone off the tipping point or over the tipping point of it. It just means that we need to go back and really look at what's causing the yellow to spin. The green personality, this is the last of the four, they struggle with interaction between their head and heart. They get mentally confused, and as a result, when they're mentally confused, they're emotionally unhappy. When they're emotionally unhappy, they're mentally confused. They're very, what I call, binary personalities, where the red is left brain gathers information, the left brain makes decisions in the left brain. The green personality makes decisions in the right, gathers information in the right brain, makes decisions in the right brain. And as a result, in that right brain that wants to see the whole picture instead of the little itty-bitty bites that come in that left brain, the green really has to have time to be able to look at the whole picture and explore it and have the freedom to do that. And then they'll make decisions based emotionally. And that's why they get in when I say their head. That's that logic part. That part of them says, oh, come on, let's just make the decision. Yet for the green, it doesn't feel right. And greens know this when I say it to them, you know, and ask them, what happens when you make a decision when it doesn't feel right? I can hear, if I'm in a room, I can hear all of them take a real big gulp and, start to hold their breath, and then all of a sudden it blurts out. It never works out. It just creates a lot of stress and wear and tear on me. So that's one of the things that, you know, when we look at what triggers the green personality, it's rejection, feeling silenced, disapproval, being criticized for being too emotional. This is something that's extremely difficult for greens. They've heard it many, many times, both male and female, over the course of their lives. And then also being ignored. Greens make it a point to really connect with somebody personally, to want to get to know them, and in return, greens would like to have the same when someone engages with them. They, as with the oranges, avoid conflict. The one thing with the orange is that when they get to the place where they can't avoid conflict, what they release causes the other person to be like a deer in headlights, and then immediately the orange feels guilty because, oh my gosh, I shouldn't have done that. The green stuffs it, and it can really create an avalanche of chemical chaos in their body to the point where they don't feel like they have a strong support system in their external world, meaning friends and family and relationships, and that can equate into the immune system, where there's no strong support system, meaning that the immune system hardiness has now been undermined. So what can the green do to go in and to really create that hardy immune personality? You know, be the same cheerleader that they for themselves that they are for other people. That's one of the wonderful qualities about the green. I'll tell you, if anybody can ever find a silver lining around a cloud or find a rainbow in the worst situation or the best of anything within a real, you know, highly charged emotional situation, it's a green. Also, don't feel that everything that goes wrong or that's negative is your fault. Include some play in every day. This is probably the most important thing I can say to the green to be able to create that hardy immune system is play is a part of your every day. Doing something that's fun, doing something that you really don't have to go in and be accountable to what you're doing. It doesn't have to produce results. It's just play. It's doing something that's important to you. Practice breathing, because one of the things that the green does when they get stressed is they stop breathing. They actually hold their breath. And anytime they feel compromised, they hold their breath. And it's very hard for the immune system, the brain, and the body to be able to function the way it needs to. So practice breathing exercises. Yoga is very, very effective. Also, working with Qigong is very effective for the green personality. It's fun. It's interactive. It's usually done with other people, which the green absolutely loves. And then one of the things also that the green tends to struggle with is clutter. And they're not necessarily hoarders. Don't get me wrong with that. But what that means is that, you know, they save things because they don't know if they're going to need it, or maybe it was a quote that they really enjoyed, and so they've got quotes stuck all over and little stickies all over everywhere, And one of the things that I always suggest that's to help the green feel like that they have a control in their life is to take all the stickies down and put it in a journal or put it in a book or put it in your computer. So learning to get organized and to be able to help a green both manage both time and money can be very, very important. And so this is something for all personalities, but something that I think that I want to throw out there is every personality needs to laugh. But if I looked at all four of the personality colors, the personality that leads to laugh the most and be sure that they do it on a daily basis is the green personality. And the reason for that is that they have a natural, beautiful sense of humor within them. They're one of the rare personalities that can actually look at themselves and laugh at themselves. As some of the other personalities, the red doesn't have the ability to do that because they don't see themselves as being the problem others may be. So laughing is usually something that may happen if they're sitting around with a group of people and somebody tells a joke or does something, they may laugh, but it's not something that the red does easily. The orange personality, the best way to laugh is get involved with your family, doing things that are fun, doing things that really engage you in the process. And then what you'll find is if your husband does something funny or if you go to a zoo and someone, you know, an animal does something funny, then the orange will laugh. But by nature, the orange doesn't naturally laugh. So a good movie that can really come in and can help a lot. The other thing for the yellow, oh my gosh, this is something that the yellow really, really can look at needing to really work on, is the yellow by nature is a very serious personality. And when you're serious, it's very difficult for you to step back and see the humor in situations. So for the yellow personality, when I say laughing, it isn't probably where you're going to get a real good belly laugh, especially like the green can. But one of the things for the yellow is that the laughter that they feel starts out as a smile. It's tied to personal satisfaction and feeling like they're doing something that is really fun and worthwhile and can make a difference. Yellows have a wonderful sense of humor. It tends to be a little more dry, straightforward. And when somebody responds accordingly to that statement, then say through email, if you're dialoguing with someone on email or on Facebook and you throw out a concept and they come back with you at something and then it keeps on going and going, that's real humor to a yellow. So what they'll do is they'll actually come in and find themselves really, really laughing. So as we're looking at the energy of 2015 and the direction that we want to go, and we're coming off of, like I said, the holidays and all of the time that we had with the stress and press and really putting up with other people in a very stressful, charged situation in many, many cases, then it's important for you to find time every day, even if it's 5 minutes, to or taking a short, you know, breather or taking a quick nap. It's literally allowing your personality to unplug from what's going on to be able to recharge your batteries. And one of the ways to do that is to be able to step back and really look at your life through the eyes of your soul and look at this divine appreciation. And when you look at it from that perspective, then you will find humor in all experiences. And you will find lessons, as some personalities will say, but you will also find the opportunity to learn more about who you are and to recognize your patterns of behavior so you will be able to make the changes in your life that you really would like to make. So a lot of information. If you want to listen to this again, because there's a lot of information, you can always go to my archives at www.ritberger.com. Just click on the radio tab. You'll see archives. Click on it, and you'll be able to listen to the show. And you can share it also with others, and they can go in and listen to it as well. But it is a perfect time for us to really focus on us as we begin this new year and to be able to come in and really look at the hardiness of who we are and to be able to help our immune system manage the stress, keep us healthy, and do the job that it's intended to do, which is to protect us not only from external invaders, but as the yellow would say, protect us from ourselves. So thank you again for joining me. It's a pleasure. I love sharing the information with you. I hope you'll join me next week. Have a wonderful week, and I'll see you on the radio.
You've been listening to The Carol Reiberger Show. Join Carol next week and every week at 10 a.m. Pacific Time on ContactTalkRadio.com. To contact Carol, visit her website at www.reiberger.com. That's www.reiberger.com. See you soon.